Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My special guests tonight are Seth Rudetsky, writer, musical director, and SiriusXM star, and Tony Award winner James Monroe Iglehart. He's currently in the Broadway cast of Hamilton as Lafayette and Jefferson, and we're here to talk about the Seth Concert Series for December. Seth and James, welcome to the show. It is a deep pleasure to be talking to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Seth, I want to start out the Seth Concert Series. Talk to me about how this originated, because this is such a special series. It's an amazing thing that people can be part of.
Ah, thanks so much. Basically, around 10 years ago, I began a series in Provincetown, and now we do it in Provincetown and L.A. and London and New Orleans, where it's me giving Broadway concerts with Broadway stars. But kind of to me, the special thing about it is, you know, every concert, for me at least, most Broadway stars sing their big hits, and we always do that. But I can't stand scripted patter.
Oh, yeah.
It's so fake. And I think for that, when I like saw a tech rehearsal and I saw someone be like, "It's wonderful to see you," like looking out into air. And I'm like, oh my God, saying that, it freaked me out. So now what I do is, because I have a radio show where I always do interviews and I love Inside Scoop, I was like, instead of doing patter between every song, why don't I just interview the person and we'll never know what we're going to talk about. And there'll be all these really fun stories. So it's this concert series with, where it has, you know, quote unquote greatest hits, but also these spontaneous interviews between the songs. And so that was the series. And to me, the really cool part about doing it now online is that everything now is basically pre-taped and auto-tuned online. Or if they try to do, they'll pre-tape the piano part and sing live. So there's really not really great technology out there. But my two young tech people, David Katz and Kieran Edwards, I don't know how the hell they figured it out, but they have this system now where I can play piano live in my house and the Broadway star can sing. I'm like, I don't know anyone else that's doing it. Everything is pre-taped. So what it does is it also adds all the spontaneity. Like when I had Leia Salonga, she's like, when I tried out for the Aladdin movie, I sang Part of Your World from Little Mermaid. And I was like, hit it. So I was able to just like, so it really is like, or like Jesse Mueller was like, I never did Les Mis. I was like, well, it's time you did, Eponine. And I just started playing it. So it's a very spontaneous thing filled with greatest hits, but a lot of surprises. Long story longer. There you go.
So how can people be part of it?
Anybody can go to thesethconcertseries.com and watch. And actually this month, we have basically all my old concerts are back on sale for just this month. So you can see Jesse Mueller and Audrey McDonald. You can see all my old concerts this month, plus all the new ones. So all the old concerts are obviously were already filmed. They were live, but then now they're filmed. But then I have all the live concerts coming up, like my pal James Monroe Iglehart. Hi. Hey.
Just the energy coming out of the both of you is worth the price of admission.
And you have to be. You have to be energetic to be with Seth.
Oh, my God. But James, you walk into a room and the energy level for the entire room goes up about 50%.
Mercy,
that's pretty much that I'm a hyper person.
No, it's just you're sort of nature. You generate so much energy. It's amazing.
And positivity.
And positivity. That's important.
I do my best. Yes.
Okay, but Seth, I got to ask you, because you do so much with you and with your husband, too. You do so much, but you have a deep love of Broadway, and I've got to ask where that came from. Like, what was the first show that sort of you knew this was what I want to be with in the rest of my life?
Well, my parents just love the arts, so they always exposed us to everything when we were kids. But the really smart choice they made was when I was in second grade, we could have gone away for the, you know, holidays, but they said instead of paying for a hotel and going out of town, because we live near New York City, they said, why don't we see three Broadway shows?
Whoa.
So they took family to see, it was their, you know, early 70s. I was a little kid. We saw Pippin and we saw Grease. And I liked them, but really the show that flipped me out was this revival that only lasted for a month of a show called The Pajama Game.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so it was a revival with Hal Linden and Barbara McNair and Cab Calloway, and I flipped.
Cab Calloway? Wow.
Yeah, Cab Calloway.
Oh my gosh. I know.
Old school. And only ran for a month, but that opening number where they're in the factory and there are different groups singing different parts, one group's going, hurry up, other group's going, can't waste time. I was obsessed, and that's really what got me completely obsessed with Broadway, Pajama Game.
And James, wow. For you, you know, it's amazing because you've done a lot of voice work too. And by the way, yeah. For people who are listening, there's a great YouTube video of James when he found out he got the role of Aladdin on Broadway.
Yeah.
And it was
I was pretty juiced that day.
Whoa, freak out. But you've been working in theater and film in voiceover work for an awful long time. What started you down that road?
Oh, since I was a kid, from the first Disney movie I saw, which was Jungle Book.
I know, and you're very passionate about Disney. Yeah.
But I'm also very passionate about voiceover work for animation, and I wanted to know who did the voice of Baloo, and so I was like, this is before the internet, so I had to like find books and like look at all the albums and like find out who were the people behind the voices, and I was like, this is so cool because you're listening to people. I want to be one of those people you're listening to. So that's how I got into it, and so I've been into it since I was a child. So when I finally got my first voice, like when I got to New York, actually I started doing video games first when I was like 21. And
Wait a minute. You started doing video games?
I did a demo video game many, many years ago.
So you did the voiceover of the characters?
Of the
characters.
And what was great about it was the story was, this is my first moment in the business. They were like, hey, we had an original guy for the first game. This is the second game. This is for the demo for Japan, and it's going to be an expo. You're going to be great, and then we're going to put you in the real game. So I'm like, great. So I do the demo, and they say, you sound wonderful, and we're just about to record the video game. And they go, oh, by the way, sorry, Sega has decided they're going to go with the original guy because he's free now. I am devastated. But I find out that the guy's name, and his name is Kevin Michael Richardson, and this guy, if you look up his name now, he is like the biggest thing in the world. Rewind a couple years ago, 2014, I'm in Comic-Con as the genie, and I've done a cartoon for Tom and Jerry, and somebody says, Kevin Michael Richardson wants to meet you. And I come around the corner, and he goes, oh, so you're the guy. I'm like, why? I'm so glad to meet you. And he's like, everybody thinks I'm the genie. Kevin Michael Richardson is a giant, bald, black man with a goatee. So everybody at Comic-Con thought he was me. And he's like, I do voiceover cartoons for everybody. Well, and now, why? Who is this guy everybody's comparing me to? And I was like, full circle. Everything's great now.
Hey, you know what? We got to mention, when is Michael going to be on? When is James going to be on?
James, you can never pick James.
James is going to be on which? Okay. And starting when? Let's talk about the times.
Okay. So it's Sunday, December 13th. It's every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, right, James? I don't know why.
Yes, that is right.
Okay.
That is correct.
Now, people need to buy tickets, correct?
Yes,
they go to the Seth Concert Series. And by the way, James, I'm just looking through your song list. There's nothing with...
Whoa.
I thought we were going to do Sweeney Todd.
We can. We haven't.
Whoa.
It, sure.
Is he just pulling this on you in the front? You've not known this before?
No.
What would you sing from Sweeney Todd? He's giving you some clues.
Wait, what's your hurry? I give you some Sprite. Yeah, we probably do that. Yeah, we should put that on there. You're right. We should put that on there. We would probably do The Worst Spies in London.
Oh, nice.
Which is Angela Lansbury's song.
So
Seth, we did a concert one time, and Seth had me sing the song. And I got to sing it to Lynn Carreyrou, the original Sweeney Todd. And it was like the coolest moment ever. And now that you say that, I have to go back and rehearse so I can remember all the lyrics.
It's a lot of lyrics, girl. Yeah.
This is amazing, Seth, because this show is really spontaneous.
Well, this is not even that spontaneous because he still has a week to learn it. Normally, it's really on the start vamping it. So that will happen.
True.
So people need to go to the website, need to buy tickets. There's VIP tickets, aren't there?
Oh, that's this new thing because, you know, because of this crazy technology, we have to do a tech rehearsal like around 2 hours before the concert. So people get to actually watch us do all the sound but also pick all the songs. So actually, this is this new thing we added where we have this audience watching us do the rehearsal a couple hours before. Those are quote-unquote VIP tickets. But it's fun because you see us try things out and decide whether to do them that night. Wow, you know everything. Yeah.
I'm so glad you told me that because I had no idea that was happening.
Oh, yeah. You have to be in full hair and makeup for this act.
How dare you?
Hey, this is working out on this show. I have no idea where it's going to happen. What's going to happen next?
That's right.
Well, that's how I met Seth. Well, actually, the first time I ever saw Seth Rudetsky, I was a rookie in Broadway. Seth has been around for a very long time. I'm kidding. So,
okay. Seriously, folks.
He'll kill me later. No, I go to the Easter Bonnet, and Seth gets up, and I'm waiting for him to perform, and he tells these series of stories, and I don't know who Seth is, and I keep walking around going, who's the actor who's up there? And they're like, who? I was like, the guy who told all the stories, the one-man show, because you told the story about the West Side Story thing, about, you know, the Maria with the gun. You told the corn story, and I was just like,
okay, wait a minute.
It's so captivating.
Seth, you need to tell one of those stories.
Oh my God!
It's the West Side Story that gets me, that kills me every time.
Okay, you got to tell it.
So this may be apocryphal, but you know, I love talking about things that go wrong on stage. Those are like my favorite types of stories. So at the very end of West Side Story, Maria has that gun, and she's like, "How many bullets are left in this gun? Enough for you?" And she points to everybody, "Enough for you?" And then you know, it goes into that depressing ending. Well, apparently one night there were still some blanks in there, and she was like, "Enough for you?" Bang. And she literally, the gun went off. So, of course, like, there's a jet standing there, one of the actors. And he's like, wait, I was just shopping Maria. He's like, I guess I have to die? Keep it realistic. So he, like, bumps to the floor. But it's not really part of the blocking. So they're like, okay. So then they pick up Tony's body and just, like, gently step over his. He's him on the stage. And the audience is like, Maria's a murderer?
Oh, my God.
Good memory, James. That's the first time you saw me? Oh, my God. That was 2006.
That's the first time I saw you. And I just sat back and I went, okay, whoever that guy is, I need to know him. That is freaking out, baby. And I remember the first time I actually got to work with you was Memphis. And you called me and Jay and Derek up to sing. And I was like, they were like, Seth Rudetsky called. I was like, oh, my God, Seth Rudetsky's calling? He wants us to perform? And like Jay and D were like, who's such a nerd? I'm like, dude, you don't understand. So I'm a big Broadway nerd. So if it has to do with Broadway, I kind of know what it is. So,
well, then, you know, that's one of the important things about the Seth concert series right now. Because of this whole COVID disaster, the plague, this is a way of getting to bring Broadway to you through the series, right?
Well, funny. Yeah, we were thinking of actually pre-recording the concerts to make sure they were perfect. And my husband was watching us tech. And we were having a couple of problems trying to do it completely live. And James said, he goes, it doesn't matter how many mistakes there are. He goes, people are just craving
that's right.
actual live entertainment. He goes, you've got to keep it live. So that's what I feel. We're bringing some Broadway.
I mean, that's the essence of Broadway, is that it's live. And therefore, you're bringing it into people's homes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. James, have you done a fully live concert yet this pandemic?
I've only done one fully. It's not fully live, so I see what you mean. I did a concert for Seniorly, which is a wonderful website for seniors, and so all my music was taped, but I was singing live. But to do it fully live, where someone's playing and I'm singing, no, I have not done that. Actually, that is not true. I will say, technically, Freestyle Love Supreme is live because we have our beatboxer. So we have done that. So we've had our beatboxer and our rappers that would do that, but never with like a musician, not a full a real musician, not yet. So this would be my first time.
Are you still doing Freestyle Love Supreme?
Oh gosh, yes.
Can you talk about that? Because I love the idea of that.
Freestyle Love Supreme is a hip hop improvised rap group. And basically, people throw words at us on stage. We have a beatboxer, two keyboardists, and a couple of MCs. And basically, we create the show right there on the spot. So now what we do is, if we're on Zoom or on, you know, StreamYard or stuff like that, people put words in the chat. And we'll pick up the words and, like, freestyle the rhymes right in front of the folks while they're doing it. And it's just one of my favorite things. I love improvisation. That's one of the reasons why Seth and I work so well together, because we like on-the-spot things. And that's what freestyle is. We create the show on the spot for you. One of our taglines is, you know, you're going to see something for the first time for the last time, because it's never going to happen again, because it's spontaneous.
And the both of you, there's one on YouTube that's great. The two of you have done a freestyle rap together, and somehow it got to be about Coke versus Pepsi.
Well, that was because of Adam.
Yeah.
Right? That was Adam.
It came off really well, which I thought it was pretty amazing.
You have to, because don't get me wrong. When you do Aladdin, there's Aladdin, and he's a very, you know, attractive, sexy, big smile, ab man. But he just kind of waits for me to make jokes. So he was waiting for us. He was trying to give us words. He just said Coca-Cola, and I looked at Seth, and we just went.
I mean, I have to say, he was. I don't know why he made him expose his abs at the end. But the point is, yeah, he was Aladdin, and I was like, come up with a really fun subject, and that's what he came up with. And I was like, what a bizarre thing. I mean, James, have you ever just said to someone, girl, come up with a different subject? That is stupid. Because, I mean, you just went with it, but I would have been like, next subject. Have you ever rejected something?
You know what's funny? The only time we've rejected something is if it was kind of foul and we had, like, kids in the audience.
Yeah.
Most of the time, you know, we kind of take it and go. We try to stay above the we should be a higher plane,
okay.
You know, because it's so easy to rap about something dirty or cuss because it's, you know, easy.
Sure.
So we try to keep it a higher plane. But if someone gives you something mundane, you go, okay, great. Give me something mundane and watch me make it interesting. So I try my best not to say no, because it's improv is a whole game of yes and. So he threw Coca-Cola. So I'm like, great, I'll take Coca-Cola and see where we go.
I was amazed because when he threw out Coca-Cola, I went, come on. And I'll tell you, I got engaged. I was amazed. I got into it. I totally got into it.
That's the fun thing. It's the magic of creating on the spot and watching the audience go, no, he's not going to do anything with that. And you go, yes, I will. So people have thrown the dumbest things at us, and we're like, yep, okay, here we go. Let's try it.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My special guests tonight are Seth Rudetsky, writer, musical director, Sirius XM star, and he does an awful lot else, too, that I hope we get to talk about, and Tony Award winner James Monroe Iglehart. He's currently in the Broadway cast of Hamilton as Lafayette/Jefferson. Seth, I got to add, you know, when I read about all the things that you're doing, and you do a lot, special concerts and so forth. But I read about one of your earlier works. Talk to me about Disaster! Exclamation point.
Oh, that was my Broadway show. My God,
I want to know about it. I have not seen it or heard the soundtrack.
Oh, well, you'll definitely love the music. Basically, way back before any jukebox musicals were happening in the early '90s, I was saying to my friend Drew, I said, you know, I grew up obsessed with disaster movies like Poseidon Adventure and Towering Inferno. I said, we should write a disaster musical.
I love the idea.
As a musical, but we should use all the music from the 70s as the songs because it took place in the 70s. So for like 20 years, I was thinking, God, I really want to write this musical. And I really do have ADD, and if I don't have a deadline, it's very hard for me to get anything done. So it's 20 years of me being like, wow, I really should do this. I should do this. And I was doing a lot of volunteer work for this organization called Only Make Believe, which brings theater to hospitalized children. It's a great organization. And every year I did a big benefit for them. And then I said, you know, instead of doing my typical stand-up comedy show, why don't I write a new musical? So I had like a 2-month deadline, and I got together finally with my best friend, Jack Plotnick. And we wrote this musical in like 2 months, and we did it this one night as a benefit. And then from there it went off-Broadway and then to off-Broadway and then to Broadway. Now it's licensed and, you know, before the pandemic it's being done all around the country. But it's a comedy, so basically it has every disaster. So it has...
Is there a soundtrack album?
Oh my God! Yeah,
oh, yeah.
It's all the hit songs in this.
Fantastic,
is it?
Adam Pascal. Oh, thanks, James. Yeah,
yes.
Great things. And it was really hilarious because it has all the disasters. It has a tidal wave. It has piranhas and sharks.
I'm gonna love this.
Oh my God, I love the music. Barry Manilow and Donna Summer. It's just the best song. So yeah, and actually, I mean, inside scoop, it may be coming back within the year, but I can't say any more.
With some of the original cast. Maybe.
My lips are sealed. We'll see. Thank you.
James, I want to know about your first voiceover work for Disney. Talk to me about that. What was your very first voiceover Disney work?
It was a show called Tangled, Rapunzel's Tangled Adventures.
Yep.
And it's a show that's based on the hit movie that just had its 10th anniversary 4 days ago, called Tangled, based on Rapunzel for Disney. And the great thing is, I was doing Aladdin at the time, and the executive producer of the TV show, Chris Sonnenberg, he was coming to pitch the show to Alan Menken to say, would you write music for the show? And Alan was liking it. And he said, well, look, I'll give you tickets to Aladdin. And they had already had pretty much what the show was going to be. Like, they were pitching the show to people, like they were pitching it to Alan. They sit down, they watch the genie, they watch me on stage. And Chris always tells the story that he leans over to his partner and says, we have to write a part for this guy. We have to write a part for this guy. So they ended up creating a whole new character that had nothing to do with their original set, and he became Flynn Rider's or Eugene's best friend. So Zachary Levi ended up with a best friend. So they made this backstory for this guy that did not exist just because they saw me on stage. They were like, we need this energy on stage. And I was so proud and I was so honored because I've always loved Disney. It was really funny stories because my agent calls, I'm at the theater, and he goes, hey, you got an offer for this Disney cartoon. I said, okay, great. When do I audition? He was like, no, it's a straight offer. I'm like, they see me? Like, I didn't know Chris came to the show. So I was like, I thought it was a lie. I was like, okay, they're totally ribbing me. This is not real. I'm going to go there. They're going to know you still have to audition. But no, I got the part. They just gave me a part and wrote the part for me.
Oh,
and then when I got to the studio, they let me create it. So I got to create Lance for who he is. So he's me with the volume turned way, way, way up. And it was a lot of fun because I got to do all these different voices with Lance being who he is, and I have had so much fun. So I got three seasons. Two episodes in the first season, and then the second season and third season, I became a main player on the show, which was fantastic.
That's so sweet.
I've got to ask you, though, and one thing I've always wondered about, I actually taught animation for 40 years at the Worcester Art Museum here.
Wow. Did you?
Yeah. And what is it like the first time that you see your voice coming out of an animated character? What happens to you inside? What does it feel like?
For those of us who are animation buffs, it is the greatest thing in the world. I've been watching cartoons since I could first remember. Just images of Saturday mornings with my dad watching Looney Tunes at around 11 o'clock in California, and us cracking up to Mel Blanc or to cracking up to Frank Welker, who is the voice of Fred and Scooby, Fred and Scooby-Doo in the Scooby-Doo series. Frank Welker has been Fred up until the last movie they did called Scoob. So that's, you know, 30 years of doing one voice. To hear these guys and to see my voice coming out of a character was just the most amazing thing ever. Like, don't get me wrong, I loved winning a Tony, I loved being on Broadway, but seeing my voice coming out of a cartoon, I started crying. I looked at my wife and I was like, this is real. This is happening. This is the thing I wanted since I was a little kid, and here it is. And then I see, you know, little kids or fans text me or, you know, tweet me about, you know, oh my God, your voice, you're this. And then I'm like, oh my God, I'm a voice. That's really, really cool. So, and I've gotten to do a few now, which is really, I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do.
It has to be absolutely amazing. How's the what's it like doing it? Like, do you get a lot of direction? How much originality are you able to put into every part?
It's a 50-50, you know, it's like a symbiotic relationship. The director, because I'm in New York and they're in California, they're like on a Skype or on FaceTime or whatever. So I have like Chris and Mary who are directing me. Mary Elizabeth is one of the best directors in animation right now. So they're directing me from California, but they let me interpret their direction to start doing things.
Nice.
They also let me improv. They're like, they said, say what we say, but try one where you just do what you want. And I just go off and do something stupid, and they'll go, oh, we like that one. So them directing me, like telling me what's happening in the scene, and then letting me interpret it and go off, you know.
Seth, I want to talk to you. You do an awful lot. You do concerts like the yearly concert, You Gotta Believe. You present Voices for the Voiceless. And you do talk to me about when you started to realize you wanted to give back like that.
I've always wanted to give back. But in terms of the specificities, I was volunteering when I first moved to New York. I was looking for volunteer work, and I began to volunteer at a place called God's Love We Deliver, which brings meals to homebound AIDS patients. And I was in the kitchen, and anyone who knows me knows I'm really not a good cook. I mean, like, you know, I can't cook, but it's not my thing. So making these meals, following directions, and I was like, this is so not my skill set. I was like, I wish there was something that would use my actual skill set. And right around that time, and this is the early 90s, I found out about an organization called Hearts and Voices, which brings entertainment to hospitalized AIDS patients. And I was like, well, that I can do. So I began to do a weekly
show for AIDS patients. And when I began, it was a place called St. Clair's Hospital, and it was the prison ward. So it was prisoners that had AIDS, and the prison wasn't really equipped to deal with the medical needs they had. So it was like a locked ward within the prison. And I bring, you know, Broadway stars every week to come sing for them, and it was great. And it's funny, back in those days, like, you know, Audrey McDonald did it with me almost like every week. Like, she was always around. It was Audrey McDonald and Norm Lewis, and Betty Buckley came. So it was this really fun thing I was doing for years, where I just loved it. But then I started, I saw that big Follies concert in the 80s. I don't know if you remember, but this amazing Follies concert with the Philharmonic.
Yep.
And I just loved it, and I wanted to do something like that. And I did a benefit for the Gay and Lesbian Synagogue at Don't Tell Mamas, and Lilias White was doing a life at the time. And she came by after her tech rehearsal, I know, and she sang Effie for me in the Dream Girl segment. So it's me on the piano with drums, and Lilias was doing Effie, and I was so blown away. I said, I've got to do a concert with Lilias playing Effie with a full orchestra. So I went to the Actors Fund, and I said, can I do a one-night concert with Lilias as Effie? And my friend Audrey McDonald has always wanted to play Dina, and, you know, my up-and-coming friend Billy Porter wants to be in it.
Oh, my God.
And we did this one-night concert of Dreamgirls for the Actors Fund, and it wound up raising, like, $1 million. And that's when I sort of, like, went, you know, broader, and I began to do these big concerts.
Wow.
And, you know, I just – the Actors Fund, people don't know, it's just a terrible name because people think it's for actors. It's not. It's for anybody in the arts, no matter what they do. The ushers and wig people and caterers, anyone in the arts can get money. And when the pandemic hit, my husband and I said, we've got to raise money for the Actors Fund, and we began this thing called Stars in the House, which we do every day to raise money for the Actors Fund.
I want, you know what? Would you be willing to do a separate interview maybe sometime just about Stars in the House?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later. We're almost out of time now. I want to review everything about the Seth concert series. You know, look at, if you've been listening to this interview, you know you want to see these two together for another whatever. They're going to be great.
Of course you do.
Of course you do. Okay. So we're talking about Seth. When is James Monroe Iglehart, Tony Award winner for The Genie, now in the cast of Hamilton? When is he going to be in the Seth concert series for December?
James Monroe Iglehart, Tony Award winner, will star with me in the Seth concert series Sunday night, December 13th at 8 p.m. Eastern. And it will repeat one more time the next day, Monday, December 14th at 3 p.m. Eastern. You get tickets at thesethconcertseries.com.
And the VIP tickets get you to watch them trying to put this all together, which I think would be worth it.
And the VIP will get you to watch me actually not know anything that I'm doing. That's the VIP is what you really want to see, because you're going to watch me struggle and fall and realize that Tony Award winners have no idea what they're doing. Then at 8, you'll watch me be professional and be the guy on TV. It's going to be fantastic.
That's enough. My special guests tonight have been Seth Rudetsky, writer, musical director, Sirius XM star, and host of the Seth concert series. And then the one, the only, Tony Award winner, James Monroe Iglehart, currently in the Broadway cast of Hamilton as Lafayette and Jefferson. Both of you, thank you so much for your time.
Our pleasure.
This has been Mark Lynch for WICN. Good night.